This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Well, we love hearing from you, ladies and gentlemen. Heard from our friend Jackie Paola earlier this week. Hello, Jackie. Thanks for listening in. Always appreciate hearing from you. She gave us a call, 1-866-509-4545. That's 1-866-509-4545. And if we can, we'll use your message on air if you give us permission to do so. Please let us know if that's okay. Also signify, so it doesn't confuse anyone, which show you're actually addressing the message for. You can also ask questions of our marketing communications department, feedback@AMI.ca, feedback@AMI.ca. Just send them an email, especially if you want to know something about AMI TV, AMI Audio, or AMI Tele. On Twitter, Rumya can be reached at All Rams. I can be found at AMI Kelly Mac. And, of course, you can talk to AMI Audio, keep up with what's going on all the shows, or ask questions of AMI Audio directly on Twitter at AMI Audio, and keep the conversations whipping along out there. Rumya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of the program. So when I look at how much people play the video games that we were talking about in the last segment, the access that these have, Rum, you stop and think, so you can find these games, like Candy Crush. And I think that's, to me, the best example. I've never played it. I don't really know much about it. I just know that it's accessible to people everywhere. And that just astounds me, but that's what you would want if you were Microsoft saying, hey, we're going to do this. Let's grab a company that knows what they're doing.
Well, it's like the when a simple game like Candy Crush, the concept of Candy Crush is not like mind-blowing, right? It's you're literally trying to put the same kind of pieces together and get rid of them. And when something as simple as that, but also something as diverse as COD, is created by the same company, you kind of feel like you can rely on them to make a big impact when the big impact is this metaverse that they're talking about.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, isn't it, just the simplest things we enjoy, just to pass that time away and have something to do.
Absolutely. Kels, we're going to get into part two of our first aid for pets conversation with Dr. Danielle Jonkine now.
The human-animal bond plays such an important role in people's lives, and as a veterinarian, it's my privilege to help keep those bonds strong and healthy. I'm Dr. Danielle Jonkine, and welcome to Ask a Veterinarian.
Last week, Danielle, you talked to us about some general concepts for first aid in pets, and now we're going to get into the specifics, which you teased about, for first aid techniques, and also about some ideas that for things that we might need to put in to first aid kits for our pets. So we talked about the ABCD acronym as a useful tool to guide people. There were a few extra B's in there, but in prioritizing first aid actions for our pets. So can you remind us what ABCD stands for?
Sure. Just quickly, A is for air, B is for breathing and bleeding, though I did mention that bleeding actually comes after C, strangely enough. C is for circulation, and of course, D is for drive, and also we talked about not doing drugs, so don't do drugs.
Got it.
So this week, you said we're going to talk about specific first aid methods and things that we should know, techniques, of course. What are we going to cover? Did I lose you? I think so.
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there
I
go.
Heard you there, Danielle.
Technical glitch.
just lost you for a moment. So you said you were going to talk about some of the specific first aid techniques this week. What are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to keep everything in the context of that ABCD framework, but specifically, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about artificial respiration. We're going to talk about chest compressions, managing bleeding and bandaging, and, you know, things we might be able to do to stabilize a pet for transportation.
All right. So let's start with artificial respiration.
Okay. So if we recall that A was for air and B was for breathing, you know, we need to know that a pet that isn't breathing will be unconscious. There will be no movement of the chest wall up and down and no air movement in or out of the mouth or nose. In people, of course, they talk about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but with pets, it's actually easier to manage mouth-to-nose. So basically, you hold the mouth closed and use your hands to seal the lips shut so air can't escape. And then you form a seal with your lips over the nostrils, extend the head and neck to open the airway up, and then blow air into the nose. And, you know, you just have to watch or feel the chest rise as you breathe air into the pet and stop when it's full. Because, of course, we're much bigger animals than pets are. We can hold more air in our lungs. You have to be careful about that. And you should try and get at least 10 to 12 breaths per minute into a pet that isn't breathing. So an example of when you might need to perform artificial respiration might include, like, if a pet was drowning or, you know, a serious traumatic injury, like being hit by a car or something.
Okay. So now then let's move on to C and chest compressions.
Sure. And, you know, let me warn everybody before we talk about this, of course, that, you know, CPR is really hard to do in pets for a number of reasons. And of course, if an animal is in a serious enough condition that its heart actually stops, you know, the chances of being able to resuscitate it are probably very low, even if you do everything perfectly. Having said that, of course, their chances are zero if you do nothing. So you don't have anything to lose. You might as well try. Of course, an animal whose heart is stopped will also be unconscious and they won't be breathing. You can check for a pulse in the middle of the inside of the thigh up near the body or on the top of the foot just below the hock joint. Pulses in the legs are really hard to find in pets, though, even for vets. So, you know, if you can't feel anything there, you can slide your hand into the left armpit and see if you can feel the heart beating against your hand. If you're still not sure and you have an unconscious animal who isn't breathing, it's better to start chest compressions rather than to wait until you are sure. To do chest compressions in an animal, you lay it on its side on the ground with the left side up, kneel with your knees against the spine, and you put both hands together, put the heel of your bottom hand on the ribcage just behind the elbow. Now, of course, you'll need to use more force to compress the chest of a larger animal than for a smaller one. And ideally, you try and get 100 to 120 chest compressions per minute. If it's possible, it's ideal to have someone else do the artificial respiration for you while you're doing the chest compressions. But if you're alone, you alternate 30 chest compressions with 2 breaths. And of course, if a heartbeat and breathing start on their own, you can stop and keep an eye on things. But otherwise, keep going until someone else or your vet can take over or you can't physically do CPR any longer. CPR is actually physically pretty exhausting. So, you know, you just have to do it as long as you can or get someone else to take over.
Okay, and this is definitely a segment we're going to have to go back to the podcast and listen to because that's a lot of information. You mentioned the second B for bleeding comes after C. So what can a person do to help stop bleeding?
Well, you know, all the same things that apply in first aid for a person apply for pets too. So obviously applying direct pressure to the bleeding area is important. You can use your hands, you can use bandage material, clean cloths or even towels to do this, like whatever you have on hand. You can also elevate a bleeding limb to help control bleeding. Once the worst of it is stopped or slowed significantly, you can bandage the area to keep pressure on it. And it's important to remember if bleeding actually soaks through a bandage or a cloth, just keep layering more absorbent material on top of it rather than removing what you already have in place. And that's important so you don't disturb any clotting that has gone on.
Okay. Ooh, we've covered A, B, and C so far. What do you got for us under D? And I'm just still, like Rumya said, you're just taking it all in. And I think what mm-hmm. my mind keeps coming back to, Danielle, is just remember, you're worried enough when we in this situation, if we had to help a human of creating more injury. But geez, I just think what kind of injury, you know, to a small pet?
Yeah. And of course, like, you know, people do, you know, get concerned about that and rightly concerned. But, you know, if, you know, you're not doing anything too advanced and, you know, your pet is in a bad way. I mean, again, sometimes you have nothing to lose.
Yes.
of course, D is for drive, like we talked about before. So that just reminds you, someone needs to arrange for transportation to the vet hospital and to phone the hospital and let them know what's going on and that you're coming, if that's possible, before you leave. And of course, if your pet is undergoing CPR, has uncontrolled bleeding, don't do anything else, like just get in the car and go, you know. But if none of that stuff is happening, you know, you might be able to do some things for your pet to make that drive in the car more comfortable. So, for example, you can bandage an open wound to prevent more dirt from getting in it. Never pull things like embedded sticks, glass, or anything else out of an injured animal. You can bandage the area to prevent the object from moving and let your vet worry about removing it. Splinting fractures can, you know, make a pet more comfortable too. So a splint on a leg fracture below the elbow or the knee joint can definitely make a pet more comfortable. Splints, you can use sticks, you can cut up a broom handle or hockey stick, or even disassemble a Swiffer pole to make them. So you lay them on either side of a bandaged leg and tape them into place. Poisoning is another thing that, you know, it's worthwhile to talk about. So it's extremely helpful to have the Pet Poison Helpline number, and you can look it up on their website at petpoisonhelpline.com. They give excellent advice for first aid if that's appropriate and tell you when you should go to the vet instead. And they give you a case number, which your vet can use to call in for the latest advice on how to treat poisonings, especially for ones that we rarely see. So that's really good to have. It's best to deal with poisonings as soon as you find out that they happened. A lot of people wait and see, you know, is my pet going to be fine? You know, but really it's best to sort of call your vet right away. Or the Pet Poison Helpline. Take note exactly what your pet ate. And by that, I mean the exact product name and strength. Like hot chocolate powder is very different between different brands and types of hot chocolate powder. So, you know, it's good to know exactly what it was. Estimate how much they ate as accurately as you can. And of course, bring the packaging with you to the vet if you can, because that will, you know, take a lot of the guesswork out of what exactly did they eat and how much. Of course, skunk spray is another issue, and that actually doesn't usually require a trip to the vet. Nothing works perfectly to remove skunk odor in my experience. I personally like the products that, you know, you soak the sprayed areas in. They remove most of the odor, you know, though I find you can still smell it faintly if the dog gets wet for a while afterward.
Gross.
Do you speak from experience?
I think I speak for a lot of us when I say that. So if we wanted to put, and we have a couple minutes, Danielle, if we wanted to put a basic first aid kit together for our pets, what should we have in it?
Well, you know, bandaging materials would be on my list, you know, so, you know, sterile wound dressings, non-sterile gauze rolls, and an elastic outer bandaging wrap. I'd also include a pair of sturdy scissors for cutting bandaging material and some medical tape or even duct tape. Duct tape is amazing stuff. A blanket that could be used for warmth or for a stretcher is a good idea. And safety equipment like a muzzle that fits your pet or an e-collar, like we talked about last time, you know, keeping yourself safe from your pet in case they're not so happy about being injured. A laminated card or at least a paper with emergency numbers on it. So that Pet Poison Helpline number, your vet's number, your local emergency clinic number if you have one near you. If your pet has health insurance, you could keep a copy of that information in there too. That would be useful. And of course, you know, a bottle of that skunk off stuff if you have a curious dog that likes to chase little critters.
Is that a brand, Skunk Off?
Believe it or not, yes, it is.
I thought
it's one of those those myriad things that you just soak the sprayed area in and it takes the smell out for you.
And on the commercial it says, get out of here, will you?
Exactly. I've seen a commercial for that stuff.
Kelly's creating one right now.
Yeah, I'll send it.
Danielle, this has been extremely helpful information today and last week as well. So again, I really do encourage people to go to the podcast and get all of that stuff down. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Next week, we're talking about a cool science study that shows that dogs can actually differentiate between different human languages. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Me too. It's going to be cool.
Awesome. Take care.
Dr. Danielle Jonkind joins us on Tuesdays for Ask a Veterinarian, and today we wrapped up first aid for pets.
Do you have a bottle of... Get out of here, will you?
No.
Well, I guess that's the line, actually, not the title of it. Anyway. Coming up next, what is a nutritional yeast? How do we use it in our foods? Julia Karanchis lets us know in a moment. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.